People of Note on Fine Music Radio is proudly brought to you each week at this time by Peter Turin Productions.
This is Otto van der Walt welcoming you to People of Note this week. This year, the Tygerberg Children's Choir celebrates its 46th year, and our guest this week on People of Note has been at the helm of the choir since its inception in 1972. Under his direction, the choir won various awards, and this year earned acclamation in various categories at the World Choir Games in Tswane, and is now ranked 4th in the Interculture World Choir Rankings. This conductor, with immense stamina, is none other than Henny Luk. Henny, welcome to Fine Music Radio.
Thank you very much.
Let's start off at the very beginning. Where did you grow up?
I was born in a little town called Kakamas in the Northern Cape, situated near the Orange River. If you drive down there now, these days, if you go through another koppie, you will just see this oasis appear in front of you. But from there, we moved to the quite opposite, to the middle of the Garden Route. It's in the center of the Garden Route, Knysna. And with its beautiful scenery, Mediterranean climate, and the sea, of course.
And your parents? What did your parents do?
My parents, both of them were teachers. My father happened to be the principal of the schools where he was appointed to. And my mother was a part-time teacher because in those days, the wife of a principal was not allowed to teach on his staff permanently.
Okay.
So she was ground face, as they call it today, kindergarten, we called it. And then she was also responsible for class singing, and she enjoyed that very much. Both of them very musical. They sang in church choirs and the dramatic and choral societies. And I think there is also where my love for music and choral music started.
Yeah, that's what's going to be my next question. Where did your love start for choral music?
I attended their concerts, and I always enjoyed that. And coming back to the school, of course, as soon as the person that did the accompaniment was able to improvise a little bit or giving a little bit more full chords, I enjoyed that very much. And I think that part playing was the foundation of that. I think choir singing was the thing I would like to do, because I wasn't in those days not so much available in symphonic orchestra and instruments. You had a piano or a recorder, perhaps. But then I knew the next substitute would be singing, and of course then singing in parts.
Okay. Did you have any siblings?
I had a sister, yes. She was 9 years older than I am. So you can actually say that I grew up as an only child.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Shall we look at your first piece of music?
Yeah.
And what was your first choice?
Mimi Kurtze. I grew up with the music of Mimi Kurtze because she was an icon, and we always heard about the South African singer overseas achieving so much and doing such a lot for singing and then opera and all that. So I was always intrigued by the way that she reached those very high notes of the Queen of the Night. And I think that was one of my favorites as a youngster.
Okay, we're going to be listening to Der Hohle Rache, or The Queen of the Night, from Der Zauberflute by Mimi Kurtze.
Du bist du, meine Tod!
That was Mimi Kurtze with Der Hohle Rache, or Queen of the Night, from Der Zauberflute. And that was the choice of our guest this week in the People of Note studios, Henny Luk. Now, Henny, as I understand it, there wasn't much in terms of official choral conducting education available in South Africa until the mid-90s or thereabouts. How did you hone your conducting skills during the 70s? Who or what inspired you?
Yeah, become educated in choral conducting is, as you say, just recently. But I had the privilege to sing in the Stellenbosch University Choir under the baton of the late Philip McLachlan. And I learned so many skills from him from choral conducting. Sometimes you imitate your conductor and you know what works and what doesn't work. So that was actually my education in choral conducting. And then later on, you always attended workshops and symposiums. I attended two, one in Sydney in Australia and the other one in Rotterdam in the Netherlands. And to hear those people talking about how they go about choral conducting was an eye-opener to me. And I really enjoyed that very much. And I learned a lot of skills there.
The Tygerberg Children's Choir, how did it come about? It was a festival choir. The reason why it started was a festival choir.
That's right, in 1972. And it all started with a Tygerberg International. It's now called the International Eisteddfod. That time it was only the Tygerberg Eisteddfod. And Dr. Etienne Smit was the chairman there. And each year they have a song festival. And schools attend there and they portray their choral skills and their concerts. Or they give their school choir a chance to perform. And so when I was a teacher at the Kalen Primary School, and I went there to partake in this Eisteddfod. And just coming from the university, you know, I saw this miniature choir that I had there as a sort of a university choir, because we started off with voice training and warming up of exercises. And I did the ones that we did in the university choir. And still now, up till today, I use some of those exercises. And yes, that was the way that we went about. And Etienne Smit heard that the Kalen Primary School, and he was very much fascinated by the sound quality of the choir. I can still remember we did Schlafe mein Prinzchen, and that comes from what I heard from the Vienna Boys Choir. I fortunately at that time had very talented children in Kales River, and they formed the choir, and they were able to sing this. The other song was Kalinka, which also had a soloist in there. And I was fortunate to have more than one soloist that would be able to do those songs. So I was actually so fortunate to end up in Kales River, and with a principal that gave me scope to do what I would like to do with my choir. And yes, I performed with them. Dr. Etienne Smit heard them, and it left the idea with him to start a festival choir, or not actually just to start one, but to form a festival choir for the next year when the Eisteddfod turned 25 years old. And so this all began, putting this together. And of course, to me, it was like a dream coming true, because I've heard the Vienna Boys Choir in 1957, I think, they toured South Africa. I heard them in the town hall of Neisner. And of course, I thought and I dreamt of having a choir sounding like them.
Okay, so the Vienna Boys Choir toured to Neisner.
Well, it was a tour to South Africa. And I think one of the towns that they just performed in was Neisner. And so I was very fortunate just to have the opportunity to listen to them there, because one would think of them as Vienna Boys Choir. They'd perform in the artscape. They'd go to the cities, yes. But they performed in Neisner, maybe because of the beautiful scenery that we have there. Or we also had a very lively music society, and maybe that they invited them to come and sing there.
Okay, all right. Well, that's quite a luck then that you saw them there.
Yes.
I think it's time for your second track. Can you tell me a little bit about your choice for your second track?
Yes, it is one of those wonderful days that we, or time that I was at the Belleville High School. And we were four very close friends there. It was Teresa and Mari and Nicholas and myself. And, you know, when schools broke up for the holidays, I said, well, okay, people, let's have this a day for movies. And I said, well, let's go for them. We would go for three movies. They thought there was something wrong with me. We did the three movies. I can't remember, but one of them stand out for me, and that was Jonathan Livingston Seagull. The story, we philosophize a lot about the story because the cast is just these seagulls and then the beautiful music of Neil Diamond singing. And I was sort of so touched by the music and the story. And I was sitting next to Teresa, and the next I reached out for her hand and I held her hand. And it was the starting of a romantic relationship. So I must actually thank Neil Diamond and the Seagull for 42 very happy years of marriage.
All right. We're going to listen to the prologue from the soundtrack of the motion picture. The movie was called the...
Jonathan Livingston Seagull.
Yes. Jonathan Livingston Seagull. That was the prologue from the soundtrack of the motion picture Jonathan Livingston Seagull. And that was the choice of our guest this week in the People of Note studios, Henny Luk. Now, Henny, you mentioned earlier that you mentioned in your reason for the prologue or for the music from the Jonathan Livingston Seagull movie that you went to the movies with Teresa. In your courtship with Teresa, I understand that she wasn't easy to impress.
Yes, I must admit, you know, when I saw this young lady, I thought she was very high and mighty. And she would be never interested in me. But as it is, it's always in the back of your mind and say, well, I wonder whether I haven't got a chance. So I just asked other people and said, do you know what Teresa is doing this weekend? Or do you know what is going on in her life? And then in the end, I can just mention, you know, in 1974, the Tygerberg Children's Choir was part of the cast of Hansel and Gretel here in the Artscape. And I was down there and I was so fond of that music. It was lovely music. And the children singing, the part of the children and all that sort of stuff. And then, of course, the Abend Segen, or the little prayer that the Hansel and Gretel is praying and that sort of thing. And I thought one day she was at her classroom sitting, and I came down and I said, you know, don't you think we must just think it over about Hansel and Gretel, because you now also saw this. And my parents were also actually here when we went down there. Everybody enjoyed it. And then in this classroom I said, you know, what about us doing a little thing of this operetta? And she thought, no, come on, this is not going to work out, not in a classroom. She said, well, stop it, Henny, and that's enough. But anyway, from there on, it was not so easy. I saw she was just a human being. She was very shy and an introvert person and a real lady. And I learned to understand what was going on, and I understand that, of course, you know, sort of we were in a professional position. We cannot now sort of hear caught in a school vicinity. Yeah. And then afterwards, I went to visit her at her flat. And yes, and then in the end, everything crumbled a little bit. It wasn't that high and mighty woman that I thought it was.
So at this stage, was she involved with the choir at this stage already, or did that come later?
She joined the choir in 1975, but not as the accompanist. That was actually sort of in our courting process. And in 1976, we got married. And on and off, if the official accompanist was not available or something came forth, then Teresa had to stand in as the accompanist. So I can say yes, as from 1976, she was involved with the Tygerberg Children's Choir.
Okay, all right. The choir toured to various countries in the 70s and 80s, but you weren't always welcome everywhere. This was during the apartheid era. So during one European tour, there were anti-apartheid protests, if I remember correctly, a story about that.
You know, this was exciting times for us. Can you just imagine, 1980, the Tygerberg Children's Choir is going overseas for the first time to Katwijk am Zee in the Netherlands. Yeah. But then on the other hand, there was this other rumors about the protesters and all those things. But nevertheless, we went on and we continued with our tour, going and visited several countries where we just gave concerts, you know. It was not so much publicly known, but we gave a few concerts. But then when we neared the Netherlands, Katwijk, suddenly we got the message that they are going to be protesters. The Rode Vrouwen of the Netherlands, so that's the red women there, they are going to protest, and whether it would be wise for us to continue with our choir, with a performance. And so we had a discussion and a meeting in Switzerland with the agency. And in the end, they made up as our mind. They said, listen, let's continue with our tour and let's do the best of it. We stay positive. Of course, we were excited, but it was also scary.
Yes.
But in our favor, we got stuck in terrible traffic, something more even terrible that we experience these days in South Africa. Mm. And time just went on. And when we got to the venue, the protesters, half of them were gone already because we believed that they were paid by the hour actually to do this. Okay. And we couldn't enter from the front door. We had to enter the hall from a side door sitting somewhere. And the South African flag was not allowed to be hoisted. So that's the only thing that we can remember exactly. And then, of course, in the papers, they had a lot of paraphernalia about this, of the South African choir visiting and taking part in the competition, because it was actually not the right thing to do. But we were unharmed. Yeah. We did our thing, and we won the competition, the choral part,
yeah,
as well as the overall winner, because in that competition, you always also compete out of what they called the outside happenings. That is like drum majorettes and marching going on.
Okay.
It was quite very interesting. So inside you had your choral part, your solo singing and all that, and in the outside you had the more active part. But we were the overall winner and received the Silver Tulip Award for that.
Wow. Okay. All right. Even though
the circumstances were
a bit stressed.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's move on to the next piece of music. It's a track by the Piano Guys, Henny.
Yes. My daughter gave me this as a present for one of the, I don't know whether it was Father's Day or whether it was a birthday anymore, but I enjoy their music very, very much. Now, the track that I selected is a combination of The Mission and How Great Thou Art. And in both cases, it is special to me because Teresa adapted and rearranged The Mission part for the children's choir to sing, and we included a lot of instruments like the clarinet and the oboe and all that sort of stuff. Mm. And she did a wonderful job for the children, for the singing, the voice parts. Mm. And then How Great Thou Art, this year we sang that as one of the hymns on her service, her burial service. And so this has got special meaning to me. And a quote from J.S. Bach, in which he said that the aim of all music is nothing other than the glorification of God and the enlivening of the spirit. And in my 46 years of the Tigerberg Children's Choir, that is exactly what we try to do.
All right, we're going to be listening to the Piano Guys playing The Mission, How Great Thou Art.
Thank you.
That was the Piano Guys with The Mission, or How Great Thou Art. And that was the choice of our guest this week in the People of Note studios, Henny Luk. Henny, you have three children. I understand they all have nicknames.
Yes, I have nicknames. Well, you know, my daughter, we used to call Harpsichord, but it changed to Doy in the end. I don't think she will be very, very happy if I call all this out. But, I mean, it is lovely to have it like that. And because she has a long name, Hester Helene, and she will always sort of blame us a little bit for that. She said, I have to fill in forms. How on earth could you give me a hyphenated name, a double name? How must I fit it in?
Yeah.
But anyway, so she is now known as Doy. Well, the other two siblings called him Nerd. Okay. But I mean in a sort of a positive sense, not in a negative sense.
Yeah.
And then the last one is Puna.
Okay.
And Puna had round cheeks when he was, and was a little bit chubby when he was younger.
Yeah.
Now he's tall. I'm looking up to him.
Yeah.
And it is also sort of each one for us in the family, it means something.
Yes. All right. Now, being the children of a very well-known choir conductor, it couldn't have been easy for the children. I'm just thinking of the normal Saturdays that they missed out on. Also, everyone knows who they are and everyone knows who their parents are. You could say that they were always in the spotlight. How did they handle it, and how did you guys as a family handle it?
We tried to handle everything as normal as possible, actually. They all did other things. They were interested in other things. Like Louis, he played tennis. He played league tennis for Kales River, and he enjoyed his sport. The other two had many friends, and they socialized with their friends, went to movies, and occasionally go out and have something to eat. So we tried to handle everything in a normal way. We never tried to impress anybody, and the children, when something was written in paper, mostly at the time it was positive, or there was a photograph of the choir or of myself in some of the papers. And then they were very proud. They were extremely proud of their parents achieving something, because they had the problems when people asked them, now, what does your dad do for a living?
Yeah.
It was for them sort of a tricky question to answer and say, my dad is the conductor of the Tigerberg Children's Choir, because they didn't see that as a work.
Yeah.
Because other fathers are doing is the medical doctors or the attorneys or teachers or whatever they do. But suddenly my father is conducting a choir, and he's not at the choir all the time. So they don't see all the other preparation work that must be done before you can do the choir. So we never spotted that it was something negative in their lives, though I must admit they missed the family life usually that you have when you're off on a Saturday.
Yeah, because you have rehearsals on a Saturday.
We rehearse on Saturdays, and it's from 9 till 1. And then in the rest, there might be even that evening a concert, or we have a concert the Sunday. So for 46 years, we really didn't have normal weekends.
Yeah. Did all three of your children sing in the choir as well?
Yes. Fortunately, they are all very, very musical. And in 1993, we were all involved in the Tigerberg Children's Choir. Fortunately for them, it was also an overseas tour. And we sang the big mass or große Messe from Britain. And they did the solo parts in that piece.
In that mass.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that must have been a little bit easier because they wouldn't have to have stayed at home when you went on rehearsals on a Saturday. So
in the beginning, it was difficult because we had to leave our children at home when we toured in 1980 because they were too young. They were not part of the choir yet. So they had to stay with grandma and grandpa.
Yeah.
And for Teresa and myself, that wasn't the easiest thing because, you know, things go through your mind that the plane might crash. And if you go get home or you don't get home, what's going to happen to them? So you always had something like that in your back of your mind. But when we were all involved in the choir, it was easier. Yes, it was very much easier, and we could enjoy the music. And they were part of the spotlight. So something, a privilege I think not many families have.
Yes, no, definitely. All right, let's get to the next track. And this is a bit of a classic. It's from the movie The Sound of Music.
Yes.
And what is the story behind this one?
Both Teresa and myself, we are very fond of musicals. And whenever we have the time, we attend and come and watch those things, especially when they get here to Artscape, because then it's easy. When we were touring overseas, we made a point of it to visit West End, and we've seen Les Miserables, we've seen Miss Saigon, Sunset Boulevard, and Phantom of the Opera. Of course, some of them also came out here, and we went to see it for a second or a third or a fourth time. Yeah. The Sound of Music, we saw as productions here in Artscape. It was here recently. Mm. And we, as a family, came to watch, and we brought our granddaughter, Risa, with us, which she enjoyed extremely. And because at that time, also a few months later, Kiro Private School also put the production on stage of The Sound of Music. And it was, of course, for us, wonderful experience to hear that Risa was Gretel in their production.
She was cast as Gretel.
She was cast as Gretel,
it.
Yes.
Okay. That must have been fantastic.
And we're so glad that Teresa could still see that.
Okay, all right. We're going to be listening to Climb Every Mountain, as sung by Peggy Wood from the original motion picture soundtrack of The Sound of Music.
Climb every mountain, search high and low, follow every byway, every path you know. Climb every mountain, ford every stream, follow every rainbow till you find your dream, a dream that will need all the love you can give. Every day
That was Climb Every Mountain, as sung by Peggy Wood from the original motion picture soundtrack of The Sound of Music. And it was the choice of our guest this week in the People of Note studios, Henny Look. Now, Henny, this year has been a highlight for the choir, and I'm sure for yourself as well, in terms of achievements of the choir, from winning various categories during the World Choir Games to being ranked fourth in the world in the latest Interculture World Choir Rankings. How do you feel about these achievements in the last year that you would be conducting the choir?
Everything sort of escalated for an highlight year. You cannot buy highlights. You can. Only thing is, you must do your very best and see what happens, because you're in the hand of seven adjudicators. And everybody always said, Henny, when you step down, you must do it on a highlight of your career.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, okay, I'll ask the committee just to enter for four categories, because you don't often get choirs often for singing in four categories. And we did the children's choir singing, the senior children's choir section, the sacred with accompaniment, in which we were crowned world champions, both of them. And then we also did pop section and folklore. In both of them, we got third, but the choirs that beat us there, they were all from overseas and very, very good. It's, you know, the folklore of Namibia and China. If they do their folklore, yeah. it is something spectacular.
Yes.
And the pop choir section, I mean, we just do that. We did that for fun. And, yeah. and the two choirs that won, they are all professional, actually, singers of the Netherlands and Norwegian choir. So that was my highlight, entering for four categories. When we won all the different sections, it escalated as a wonderful experience for us all at the choir. But the sadness was that in the beginning of the year, Teresa was diagnosed with cancer, and she could not continue with being official accompanist. But she was still there because her hand in the, or I stated this way, she was the short path for the success of the choir.
Okay.
She just had something, what she could recommend if something was wrong or something that we can develop. And so her hand in the choir clearly came out in 2018. And she heard the 9th of June or the 10th of June, we had a big concert at the Hugo Lamprechts, which would have been the last concert of the winning choir, but we still had one then on the 9th of September. And the one she heard live still at the Hugo Lamprechts, and the other one was streamed to her when she was lying in a hospital bed in Louis Leipold Hospital.
Your plans for retirement, what are you going to do? You've got extra time on your hands, or do you have extra time on your hands?
What I think is I will make a shift to do more adjudication or do workshops wherever it's needed. And we have already, I have discussions with different people that asked whether you'd help us with adjudication on panels. So I think I will move on to adjudication, but I won't have the responsibility of the choir that must perform and know all to do all these
yes.
things.
Okay. And hobbies? Are you looking forward to being busy with a hobby? I don't know. Do you do gardening, or how do you keep busy at home? How do you relax?
Well, I think just to do nothing will be fantastic.
It'll be a good start.
Yes. But I'm a fond sort of gym, go to the gym. I do swimming there.
Okay.
Right. And then occasionally going to watch some tennis matches. But for the start, I think I'm just going to, because there are so many things that I can listen to and watch. You know, we've got DVDs. We've got a lot of CDs. We've got everything. Just never had the time to listen to that relaxed. And I think I'll start off that. Pour myself a nice glass of red wine, and I will listen to all this nice music.
Fantastic. Thanks very much, Henny. Thanks for coming into the studio. Your last song is from the As It Is in Heaven movie. A quick reason why this one?
I think this film is a masterpiece, says Wilhelm Himmel. I can identify, actually, with a conductor there, especially his childhood. It was not very easy for him with his violin and taking music lessons. I also experienced some of that when I was young and boy. And I think the Gabriella song is an outcry for our people in the world, actually sort of abusing all that sort of stuff. And still this woman is doing so fantastic work in this community choir in which she sings.
Thank you very much, Henny. Thank you for coming to the studio and coming to talk to us. We're going to play out with Gabriella's song from the motion picture As It Is in Heaven.
Thank you. Jag har fått en stund här på jorden och min längtan har fört mig hit. Det jag saknat och det jag får, det är ändå vägen jag valt, min förtröstan långt bortom orden som har visat en liten bit av den himmel jag aldrig nått. Jag vill känna att jag lever all den tid jag har. Ska jag leva som jag vill? Jag vill känna att jag lever, veta att jag har bara låtit det sova. Kanske hade jag inget val. Bara viljan att finnas kvar. Jag vill leva lycklig för att jag är jag. Kunna vara natten går mot dag. Jag är här och mitt liv är bara mitt. Och den himmel jag trodde fanns, ska jag hitta där någonstans.
People of Note on Fine Music Radio was proudly brought to you by Peter Turin Productions.
It's back by popular demand. The West End and Broadway comedy sensation The Play That Goes Wrong returns for its final three-week season at Theatre on the Bay. Directed by me, Alan Committee, and starring eight outrageously hilarious actors, you watch how a murder mystery play literally falls apart before your eyes. Five-star reviews, full houses, and 17 touring productions around the world tell you that this play is so wrong, it's right. So come and see what's left. The Play That Goes Wrong, 9th of November to the 1st of December, Theatre on the Bay.
FMR.